Walmart takes another shot at banking.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Walmart, the world's biggest retailer, is finding something new to sell to its customers: savings accounts. The Financial Times is reporting this morning Walmart is buying a small stake in a debit card company. Joining us live to talk about this, Marketplace's Gregory Warner. Hi, Gregory.
Good morning.
So is this a bank of Walmart?
Not quite yet. I mean, in 2007, Walmart tried to get its own banking license, and not surprisingly, other banks raised a cry. They figured if Walmart, with its 100 million customers a week or whatever, started banking, it would be the end of them. So Walmart pulled out of that attempt. But now Walmart's purchased this minor stake in Green Dot, the debit card company, and Green Dot is seeking federal and state approval to acquire its own bank.
Now, you said this is just a minor stake Walmart is taking in Green Dot. So what does this actually do for Walmart and its customers?
Well, Green Dot already offers this Walmart debit card. But in its regulatory filing, Walmart said they want to take that a step further. They want Green Dot to issue savings accounts to their core customer base. And if you think about it, many of Walmart's core customers don't have bank accounts. So Walmart offers them savings accounts. Customers earn interest. Walmart builds loyalty. And maybe down the line, bank fees.
That's Marketplace's Gregory Warner. Gregory, thank you.
Thank you.
On Capitol Hill, Harry Reid and other Senate Democrats are pushing for an extension on a tax break being offered to first-time homebuyers. Under the original deal, buyers who were in contract by the end of April would have until the end of June to close. If that deadline gets extended, they would have until the end of September. And Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us what's going on.
The tax credit was all about getting people to buy houses. Lucian Salvan is at the National Association of Realtors. He says it worked almost too well.
The sheer volume of people rushing to get this tax credit in April 30th is causing a logjam in the pipeline for many lenders.
He says if the government doesn't extend the deadline for closing the deals, 180,000 buyers could lose out on the credit. And without it, they might decide not to buy. Celia Chen follows housing at Moody's Analytics. She doesn't think buyers will back out if the government doesn't extend the deadline.
They've already decided to purchase a house. They've already put down a large deposit on the house. If they don't make the tax credit, I don't think that they would not purchase the house.
She says the tax credits help the market in the short term, but to really get it going again, we need more jobs. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And we'll get an update on the housing market later this morning when some new figures come out on housing starts. Meanwhile, Senate Democrats are scaling back a plan to extend unemployment benefits and help doctors facing Medicare payment cuts. Anxiety over record budget deficits is fueling that move. Now let's do the numbers. World markets keep following each other higher, not like what happened yesterday on Wall Street. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But stocks are up in both Asia and Europe today. BP shares in London are flat after yesterday's speech by President Obama. Today, the president meets with BP executives for the first time. He says he will tell the company to put a mountain of cash in escrow to pay for all the damage and cleanup. As I say, it was a big day on Wall Street yesterday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average gaining 213 points, closing at 10,404, and the rest of the market was up more than 2%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at vanguard.com.
There's a big economic summit descending on Toronto, Ontario, later this month. The G20 summit brings together finance ministers and central bankers from some of the world's big economies. Sounds kind of wonky, but in Toronto, it's controversial. This event has become one of the biggest security operations in Canadian history. Marketplace's Sean Cole tells us that is testing the patience of a lot of residents and small businesses.
I'm standing in the very pastoral Trinity Bellwoods Park, north and west of downtown Toronto, where the G20 summit is going to be. This is where they were going to have a designated speech area for protesters, a sort of protest zone. They're no longer going to have it here because the people who live and work near the park protested.
Yes, I joined a group on Facebook that was against it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Valerie Barrio lives on Queen Street West, right at the edge of the park. She's on maternity leave from her job at Royal Bank of Canada, had a baby strapped to her front when I talked to her.
This is a family-oriented park, as you can see, and I just couldn't imagine tear gas being used in the park. It was just the idea that I had in the back of my mind.
Along with more mundane concerns, like litter and shrub destruction. And besides, said people like Valerie Barrio, there are more suitable parts of the city where people's homes won't be affected.
Not just homes, but businesses too, right? Like, and I'm affected by both. But.
David Ginsberg lives on the north side of the park, but he also owns White Squirrel Coffee Shop here on Queen Street, an association representing more than 300 businesses like his, worried that protesters might drive away customers and possibly break stuff. David went to a planning meeting.
The cop that was there was saying, oh, it could be 20,000 people. We were like, well, you know, no.
Megan Gray with the Toronto Police G20 planning team says her unit finally gave in to the fervor.
I don't know if I would say fervor.
Okay, it wasn't fervor.
I think that you had local area residents and businesses that were quite concerned about having this in their neighborhood park, and we took that into consideration.
And moved the protest zone to another park that's not as residential. Megan Gray says it'll be outfitted with cameras and microphones, broadcasting the protests into the convention hall. The thing is, I also went to a press conference of actual protesters. They listed a bunch of rallies they had planned for the week of the G20. None of them were located at the protest zone. In Toronto, I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
And finally, on an American Airlines flight this week, the first officer took sick with the flu, so one of the flight attendants stepped in to serve as co-pilot. She had never flown a jet before, but the 767 landed safely in Chicago. I was so excited, she said. It was way more fun than serving meals from the galley. Wow, isn't that a wild story? I didn't even know flight attendants served meals anymore. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.